Lord has made, so we're going to rejoice and be glad in it. If you guys would stand with me really quick, we're going to start off today with a song called God Bless America, because we need our God to be blessing America, for without God, even America is as nothing. So we want to be praying for our country that God might bless it. So if you guys would sing this with me, God Bless America. God bless America. Can be seated.
Amen. God bless America. This morning I'm going to be in Philippians chapter 4, verse 19. And it says, "And my God." Can everybody say, "And my God"?
"And my God."
Yes, he said, "will supply every need of yours according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus." Oh, thank you, Father, that you're our God. You're our supplier, Father God. We thank you, Lord, that you give us the things that we need, Father, from day to day. You supply all of our needs. Father, let us receive them. Let us look to them, Father God, and we just thank you for them. We thank you for the opportunity to come together and praise your holy name, Father God. We thank you for this good crowd today, Father. We thank you for all those that will be watching on Facebook or on sermon audio, will be listening, and Father God, there's just no way. You have blessed America. You have blessed us as a people. Father, you're our God, our God. Father, we thank you for the gathering today in Jesus' name. Amen.
Yes.
Amen.
All right. This next song is called "You Are My All in All," and this song has been reminding me of a verse where Jesus says, "Like a pearl of great price, a man went and he found it, and he sold all that he had to buy it." Similarly, Jesus is that pearl of great price. So let us seek him as the treasure that he is. You are my all in all.
You are my strength when I am weak. You are the treasure that I seek. You are my all in all. Thank you.
a pleasure to see you all here today. Is it time for the announcement, sir? Great.
All right. Are there any guests or visitors in the congregation this morning? If you are a guest or visitor, wave at me and I'll recognize you this morning. Any around? Are there any birthdays or anniversaries? We had one earlier. Lisa, what is this? Well, happy birthday to you. Congratulations. Questions. It's marvelous to be able to have a birthday to know when you came into this world. Do you have a born again experience? Have you been born again? Because that first birth doesn't mean anything without the being born again. Have you been born again? Excellent. That's a marvelous thing. Thank God. Remain standing. Are there any other birthdays? Any others or any anniversaries? You all help me. Let's sing happy. There you are. Yeah, you want to do that later? Because the other half is not here. We'll find a way to stick that in here. He's out running a bus, so we have to do that when we can get to it. Happy birthday to you. Oh, the one will not do. Born again in Christ Jesus. Happy birthday to you. Now then, for some announcements, we do have a fellowship that is planned. You might want to look in one of these two pages that are out there on those tables as you're going out to find out about a fellowship. We're thinking about going to, in the springtime, we're thinking about going to a park if we're not having tornadoes. I'll guarantee you that if we are having tornadoes, we will have a cellar somewhere that we can and being in the cellar will be a lot more fun than this last year has been. Okay? So we're looking into that. Also in here, if you do not have contact information from the church, we don't know what it is. Have you not received any kind of letter here recently at all, since the beginning of the year? If you haven't, then you want to call the church and say, do you not know who I am anymore? Okay, you want to do that and make sure that they do know who you are. Let's see, we have those things to take care of. We're having a young adult class. It's very important that if you know of people that are young adults, I think it says up here on the screen, that they need to be 18 or above. Now there gets to be a point where really you can look at them and say, well, Phil, you act like a young adult or you act like something, but you're really not that young anymore. So young adults are invited to come and be a part of that. We need to make sure that we have that done. Also, the way we are taking offerings and doing things for our mission work, if you are putting a mission envelope in, be sure its circle is on the mission, and it says whether it is for the Pacific or for Mexico or for somewhere else. Thank you. Thank you. There's too many distractions, and so I appreciate all the distractions while I'm trying to talk. Let's see, make sure that it's made out for the Pacific, or for Mexico, or for Israel. Hannah Awad has been in the States during the COVID, and he's going back. And so we want to make sure that he's going back in May. So if you're wanting to send an offering to him, now would be a good time before he gets gone, because we can send it here in the States, but you'll have to earmark it, designate it for the Middle East for it to get to him. In case you don't know, Glenn Knight is a missionary we support in the Philippines and Micronesia. And if y'all know where Micronesia is, I'll show you on a map later on, and you can be aware of it. He has a rather large boat that criminal organizations have been trying to kill his family and take the boat away from him. He knows this is true because the FBI has contacted him and told him, you cannot keep this boat in this port anymore. They will take it away from you within 2 months. So now he's having to be in a safe harbor in some small islands where they put anchors down, and they are there in that place away from civilization to be able to protect that part of their ministry. And recently, this last week, there was a typhoon that went through there. It ripped their anchors up, smashed them against the rocks, but thank God the boat did not suffer damage to where it would not be able to be underway. So that's something you need to be aware of. Let's see, I'm sure there's something else I'm needing to talk about. Oh, let's watch the video about the D word, number 2. I think that's on dependence is what it's called. And it's about it's about being dependent upon God instead of being independent from God. May the 6th is about 2.5 weeks away, and it will be that will be the National Day of Prayer. I should have that written down. There it is. And we will be having a national observation on the National Day of Prayer. And we will meet here at 6:30 in the morning. I know that's too early for some of you all. We'll also meet here at 9 o'clock in the morning. That's still too early for some of y'all. We'll meet here at noon. That's the middle of the day, in case y'all are wondering about lunch. You can either have it before or afterwards. And we'll meet at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, and we will meet at 6 o'clock in the evening. That gives everybody an opportunity to be able to be a part of the National Day of Prayer, because America needs for the church to pray. We need to pray praying, so that'll be that day. So remember that, and we'll watch this as it encourages us. I don't believe there's any talking to this. It's just music and words on a screen. It encourages us to be gathering together for the National Day of Prayer. Excellent. Thank you. Come at 6:30, 9 o'clock, 12 o'clock, 3 o'clock, or at 6 o'clock in the evening. Please join in prayer for America. Do you all want America to be changed? That was a good number, but kind of sad. Do you all want the church to be changed? Yes. Then come for the church's sake and pray. You don't all have to come at the same one. Just come and pray. Let's do the battle hymn.
Yes, sir. All right, we're going to sing Battle Hymn of the Republic.
Mine eyes have seen the glory of the coming of the Lord. He is truly of the vintage when it breaks the wrath of sword. He has loosed the faithful, lighting up the stair of both the sword. His truth is marching on. Hallelujah. Glory, glory, hallelujah.
right. Yes, we do. So we have not one but two specials today. So we're going to have our first special. It's going to be Tammy James. And then after that, we'll have another special by John. Yes, we will. We have one more song to sing in between those two. So Tammy's going to come and sing, and then we'll sing a song, then John will sing a song.
This song came to me a couple of weeks ago because I was listening to some of Stuart Hamblin's songs after he became a Christian. And, you know, after he became saved and was a Christian, he didn't write any more secular songs. He wrote religious songs. And I think that's just amazing. And he wrote a lot of songs. So I was listening to him, and I heard this song, and it reminded me of growing up when my grandmother used to sing this song, you know, around the house because she lived with us. And then she'd start crying, and she'd sing it some more. And the reason that she cried was because she had had a hard life. She had birthed 6 children, and only 2 of them survived, you know, past their teens. 3 of them died as children in one night. Well, 2 of them died as children in one night where her home was burned. And my mother was burned so badly that she ended up losing her eyesight. And then the other son that survived the fire with my mother didn't have any outward scars, but he had inward scars that affected him the rest of his life. And so, and then, you know, she had other trials like we all do. But she felt that God used all of these things to bring her back to him. And so she wasn't bitter. I'm sure she was bitter at times, but in her old age when she would sing this song, she wasn't bitter. And so I want to encourage everyone that no matter how bad things seem, no matter what you're going through, that God will see you through it. And he will bring you through the other side with joy and with happiness, you know. So the song is, "He Washed My Eyes with Tears." He washed my eyes with tears that I might see the glory of himself revealed to me. I did not know that he had winded hands. I saw the blood he spilled upon the sand. I saw the march of shame and wept and cried. He is my substitute, for me he died. And now I'm glad he came so tenderly and washed my eyes with tears that I might see. He washed my eyes with tears that I might see the broken heart I had was good for me. He tore it all apart and looked inside. He found it full of fears
the clouds were silver lined, and now I understand what's best for me. He washed my eyes with tears that I could see. He washed my eyes with tears that I might see the glories of Himself revealed in me. I did not know that He had wounded hands. I saw the blood He spilled upon the sand. I saw the marks of shame and wept and cried. He is my substitute. For me He died. And now I'm glad He came so tenderly and washed my eyes with tears that I might see.
And one thing that I left out was that she was the person in the family that got us all to church, got us all saved. She was the prayer warrior that we all went to when we needed prayer, because she knew how to pray and hold on and get a hold of God. And she's the reason that I'm here today. And so, you know, sometimes I was sung the second verse twice because it means the most to me, that Jesus suffered all of that for me. Sometimes we need to be remembered more than once what He suffered for us.
You all may not know that Tammy is teaching again now that we've opened back up our gym portion of the church. And that I don't know exactly how many they had down there this morning, because I can't see them when I look in, but her class I can, and there were 10 people in there this morning. Thank God. And let's see, do you have Emmanuel over there?
Yes.
Let's use this as the next song, and then you can come sing with me, because you need to learn the song. And then we can we'll have. Okay. Let's all stand and offer up this message. Today is about, your message will be about, who do you say Jesus is? Who do you say Jesus is? Let's sing it.
Emmanuel.
Jesus is. You may be seated.
All right. John, if you come on up. Here you go, sir. You want to use this one or that one?
Sing the next one.
Okay. I come from a farm community, so we're going to sing this song. My God am I. My God and I go in the fields together. He walks and talks as good friends should and do. We clasp our hands, our voices ring with laughter. My God and I walk through the meadows you. We clasp our hands, our voices ring with laughter. My God and I walk through the meadows you. He tells me all the years that went before me, when heavenly plans were made for me to be, where all was but a dream of conception, to come to life, earth's burden, glory, see. When all was but a dream of dim conception, to come to life, earth's burden, glory, see. My God and I will go on for together. We'll walk and talk just as good friends do. This earth shall pass, and with it calm and trifle. But God and I will go on endlessly. This earth will pass, and with it calm and trifle. But God and I will go on endlessly. Amen.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the Throne of God, Facebook family and Sermon Audio family. We're glad you're with us today. Very important day, very important message. Who do you say that God is? It'll change everything. And if you don't have much to say about who He is, then there's probably not a lot that's happening between you and the throne of God. And in our lives, something needs to be happening that is marvelous. And we're going to be looking at some people today. We're going to be seeing what happened. One place that we want to look in the scriptures is whenever God was told Abraham to take his son, his only son, and to offer him as a sacrifice. That is a heinous thought, that anybody would take their children and offer them as a sacrifice. But the people that lived all around Abraham and lived in the nation or the country that was going to be given to him and his descendants were all doing that in that day. And yet whenever God asked Abraham to do this, Abraham trusted God. We're told in the New Testament that Abraham believed that God would raise his son Isaac from the dead. Now then, that is something that nobody that had lived in the nations where Abraham was wandering, knowing that one day it would be given to him, none of them had ever seen a child raised back from the dead. Anybody ever seen a child raised back from the dead? Well, I don't think so. Maybe there's been something that was a very special circumstance. But after they had thrown their children in the fire, because that's what they did, they burnt them alive. He was able to stand on that mountaintop when God provided a ram to be sacrificed. And on that mountaintop, he called God by a very special name. He called him Yahweh Yireh, or Jehovah Jireh. He called him God will provide. Can you call, whenever you're asked the question, who do you say that God is? You can say he's the God that will provide. That's a name that you need to think of. Later on, God came and visited him whenever he was a very old man. He was a very old man now. And he tells him that he's going to, he tells him about promises yet to come. And God tells him, I'm God Almighty. Do you know what words were used there in God Almighty? Well, it's what we call El, that's God, Shaddai, which is God Almighty, or God who is the one, the Almighty is the one who nourishes us when nothing else can. He's the one who sustains us when nothing else can. And he's the one who satisfies us when nothing else can. Now today, if you're looking for nourishment, the word is available, but it'll be God who's nourishing you. If you're looking for to be sustained in the midst of the COVID generation or in the midst of whatever difficulties you're in, you can want to know that God will sustain you. And if you're looking to be satisfied, because I'll guarantee you that America is the most dissatisfied nation in the world right now. I see a few heads that are shaking. Yeah, I know that. But you need to know it. And if there's going to be any satisfaction in America, it's going to be because we go out and we say, I know what I'm going to call him. He is the one who satisfies me. And if you've never been satisfied in your life, or at least not more than 90 days, because I know a lot of people who thought they were satisfied and they really weren't. It only lasted for 90 days. If you've never really been satisfied in your life, then you need to know God as the one who will satisfy you in all the needs that you have. So we're wanting to look into the scriptures today. We're wanting to see something amazing. First of all, we're going to look into John, the 5th chapter, if I'm in the right place. I think in the John, the 7th chapter. Do I have that written down? Please, Lord, let me be in the right place. Yeah, it's going to be John, the 7th chapter. And we're going to be looking at verses... Well, maybe I don't really know where I am. How many times has that happened to y'all before? Let me look back in John the 5th chapter. Yeah, doing what I can. Ah, it is John the 5th chapter. And we want to go back to verse 20. Oh yeah, we want to go back to verse 24. Because this is a good jumping off place. Y'all ready to jump off the ledge with me? Say, well, thank God you found it, Phil. I don't know whether I'm ready to jump off the ledge with you or not. So let's start. Oh, I need to stop because I see a fellow who came in and we need to celebrate an anniversary. You don't need to get up. Yeah, because you'd be running back and forth all morning long and I'm not going to do that to you, Paul. But is there an anniversary couple right over there? Would y'all mind standing? Thank you. Y'all going to sing happy? There you go. Are y'all going to sing happy anniversary with me? Happy anniversary to you. Happy anniversary to you. Happy anniversary. God bless you. Happy anniversary to you. It's their 50th. It's their 50th. Big 5-0. Big 5-0. It's their 50th. Y'all clap your hands. All right. So now then we're in John the 5th chapter. We're starting with verse 24. Verily, verily, who's talking here? Do any of you have any idea? Verily, verily, I say unto you. Who's that that's talking? That's Jesus. Thank you. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that... What? That's all you need to say. He that hears. He that hears. When you come to church, don't you want to hear God? Well, you better be hearing God. Carolyn, we're praying for you and both of y'all. We're asking God to be with you and to watch over you and to heal you, to strengthen you, and to brood over every day that's yet to come, because I believe he's got a bunch of them. Yeah, thank you. Clap your hands for them. All right, now then back in here it says in verse 24, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that hears my word and believes on him that sent me, that would be Almighty God, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, him that sent me has life, well, maybe if he's good enough. Doesn't say anything about being good enough. It's going to talk about being good in here. But to be good is going to be, basically, I'm going to tell you right now, to be good in God's eyes is to hear and believe. If you can hear and believe, righteousness will be given to you. I'll take you to Abraham in the 15th chapter. We're not going there, of Genesis, where it was told, it was said about him that he believed God when he could see nothing, and it was counted to Abraham for righteousness. Goodness was counted to him. I've seen a lot of people this morning that I haven't seen in a while. I'm so very thankful that y'all are being able to come back, that you're feeling good being here. Thank you, God, for you all being here today. So now let's go back to John, the 5th chapter, and we're going to see here, he that hears my word and believes on him that sent me has everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation. Oh, I want to ask you something. When was the last time you were condemning somebody else? Well, you think that's what God wants you to do? Yes, I know what they do and I got to tell everybody. That's not what it says up there. He that hears my word and believes on me shall not come into condemnation. A lot of us in our lives have felt like I deserve the bad things that are happening. Or they deserve it. And I know why. I'm sorry, Paul, I'm pointing at you, aren't I? They deserve it, and we know why, don't we? All right, so the thing of it is that there's no condemnation. If you know who your God is, who do you say God is? He's not the condemning God. He's never going to be the condemning God. We want to be aware of that. But it's passed from death, those that hear and believe. Let's say that again. Hear, say it with me. Hear and believe, say it with me. Hear and believe are passed from death into life. And Jesus said, I've come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. And everybody here should say, is that where I am? Because I'm going to guarantee you that if we're not there, we should be headed that way today. But it's passed from death into life. Verse 25. And verily, verily, I say unto you that the hour is coming, and now is, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. Now I want you to know something. If you've never been born again today, you're just a dead man, or a dead woman, or a dead boy, or a dead girl just walking around waiting to fall over. You are. Because every one of us that have not been born again are dead in trespasses and in sins. We're dead. One of these days we'll fall over. We'll never get up. We'll only come back before God one more time so that He can maybe give us a few rewards for the things that we didn't know that we were allowing Him to do. I'm not planning on being rewarded for the things I didn't know. I'm planning on being rewarded for the things that I said, God, I'm willing to give my life to you no matter what, however it might turn out. And I believe that you're going to do marvelous things no matter what other people might say. So we see here that the dead are going to, verily, verily, I say the hour is coming and now is when the dead that hear the voice of the Son of God that they shall hear, they that hear shall live. For as the Father has life in himself, so has he given to the Son to have life in himself. Come to Jesus today, brothers. Come to Jesus today, sisters, if you have not been born again. Jesus wants to give you life. He wants to take care of what's making you dead. You're dead in trespasses and sins. And if you are having a problem with sin, He wants to take care of your, of my, of our, and of other people that are around us. He wants to take care of sins. Maybe you've got a sin problem because of what your neighbor's doing next door. Paul, I'm looking at you. Or maybe you've got a sin problem because of what some politician. I don't see any politicians over there. Maybe you're having a problem because of what some politician is doing. God, our God, Jesus, is the only one who can take care of sin. Are you willing to trust in Him today? And He wants to give life. And if America's in a place where we feel like that there's just really not that much life anymore, I'm going to tell you whose problem it is. It's not all those people out there. It's in here. Because we're not willing to take the life that Jesus wants to give to us today. You mean I could have it today? Well, is there anything that would keep you from it? Is there a sin that would keep you from it? Because you want to know that He's going to take care of that sin. Verse 27, and has given him, the Father has given him the authority to execute judgment, also because he is the Son of Man. Now I want you to know the kind of judgment Jesus wants to execute. The judgment that Jesus wants to execute is to raise everybody from the horrible condition they're in to a better condition that they can be in. And if you're aware of the fact that you or somebody you love is in a horrible condition, wouldn't you like to know that it could happen today, that you could be raised to a better place? Wouldn't you like to know that? Somebody say yes. Amen. I would like to put up on the board the thing that I gave to you this morning, Sheila, by Alexis de Tocqueville, who was a Frenchman who came about 150 years ago from France because his government wanted him to come over and investigate what had happened here in America. And he said that he came here, he was looking for what it was that made America, America, and it was not like France. France was no longer anything like this, and he was trying to figure out why it was that way. And he said, I passed along through the thoroughfares of their trade, and I ascended their mountains and went down in their valleys, and I saw their great wealth. And I visited their manufactories, that would be their manufacturing places, and their commercial markets, and the emporiums of trade, and I entered their judicial courts and legislative halls. But I sought everywhere in vain, for the secret of their success was not in any of those things. Are you ready to hear what this man who was from France came looking for what the secret of the success of America was? Would you like to know what the secret of the success of America could be again? But I sought everywhere in vain for the secret of their success until I entered their churches. Now you need to ask yourself, are you entering into a church like the ones that he entered into? It was there as I listened to the soul equalizing and the soul elevating principles. Now, I want you to know something. We're all equal. Sin has killed all of us. There's not anybody that's going to escape the penalty of sin. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And the wages of sin is death. But the free gift of God is everlasting eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord. It was there as I listened to the soul equalizing and the soul elevating principles of the gospel of Jesus Christ. That was 150 years ago. Do you think it's still like that today? Do you wish it could be? Because if you'll come and pray on the National Day of Prayer, and if you'll just pray for whoever is in the pulpit and say, Lord, light a fire on them. Light a fire that will fall off of them. And if it's possible, it'll even fall upon the dead people who are sitting around and listening. Because if we're all under sin, we're all dead in trespasses and sins. And as they fell from Sabbath to Sabbath upon the masses of the people, that I learned why America was great and free and why France was a slave. Now, I know that's not what you're used to hearing. Because if I quoted what you're used to hearing, it would be the re-envisioning of it that Eisenhower made, that Kennedy re-spoke, that Clinton re-spoke, that Reagan re-spoke, that everybody has re-spoke from since then, and the people who are wanting to shut down true spirit-filled religion in America will tell us that that's a lie. Well, that was the original thing that he said right there. That self, that's about the soul, the self-equalizing, the self, that elevating preaching that was going on. And we need to know that that is our job. The soul equalizing and the soul elevating principles of the gospel. We should hunger for those things. Now I must hurry along because I have just begun to have the beginning of this. And I want to finish out the scriptures that we were in John the fifth chapter. We'll look at verse 28. John the fifth chapter, verse 28. Marvel not at this. For the hour is coming in which all that are in the grave shall hear his voice. Well, I want you to know that all that are in the graves, not all of those people are dead in trespasses and the sin. They're just waiting for the opportunity for their body to be joined to their living soul and spirit. And that portion that is needed from their dust will be joined and they'll be complete and sin will no longer have any hold upon them. But the graves are filled with people who are dead in trespasses and sin, and they will only come back to hear His voice one more time, and they will hear Him never again. Who knows but what this may be your day to hear the voice of God speaking directly to your heart and your soul. And it says, the grave shall hear His voice and shall come forth, they that have done good. How do we do good? By what? What do y'all think? Pulling your ear? What is this right here? This is not what Carol Burnett used to do. This is by what?
Hearing.
Hearing. That those who have heard and believed. And today you're going to have a chance in this sermon to know you've heard God, you've heard Jesus, and you're going to believe. Those who have done good by hearing and believing unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil because they would not hear and they would not believe, to the resurrection of judgment or of damnation. Now let's get into the real message that we have today. So in the message that we have today, we want to go to the 16th chapter of Matthew. We want to hear what is happening to Jesus, because we're going to start in verse 13. Jesus is taking his disciples and he's going up into the base of a mountain up in the northern part of Israel. And he's going to go to a place called Caesarea Philippi. And it says the coast, but Caesarea Philippi was not on the sea. It's talking about the area of the influence of Caesarea Philippi. And I want you to know that Caesarea Philippi was a very evil city. It was filled with idols of every kind. And Jesus walked right into that place. Why did he walk into that place? Because those people needed the influence of heaven that only He could bring. Have you ever thought of your life being like that? Going into a place to be able to take Jesus because those people in that place needed the influence of heaven? Because the only thing that's going to make a difference when you go in that place is on who do you say Jesus is. That's all that's going to make the difference. So let's go ahead and read here a little bit. And when Jesus came to the coast of Caesarea Philippi, He asked His disciples, saying, "Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" And they said, "Some say that you are John the Baptist, and others say that you're Elijah." Now John the Baptist was dead because he had his head cut off. He had made somebody mad. And others say that you're Elijah. Elijah had gone up to heaven in a fiery chariot. Others say that you're Jeremiah, or you're just a prophet. But He said unto them, now this is after they've been with Him for a while, and He wants to know if something's beginning to grow inside of them. Wouldn't you like to know today that something is beginning to grow inside of you because you've been with Jesus? And they said, and He said to them, "Who do you say that I am?" That I am. And Simon Peter answered and he said, "You are the Christ, you're the Messiah." And he goes on and he says, "You're the Son of the living God." Now then we want to go from this scripture to John 3:16, and then we're going to be in Matthew 2, starting with verse 1 when we finish that. So in John 3:16, we're going to be there in a few seconds. There it is already on the screen. And we're going to see here, but because Peter has just said that you are the Son of the living God. Verse 16 says, "For God," read with me everybody, you can see it up on the screen behind me. "For God so loved the world." That's me. Do y'all know that that's me? Anybody in here want to say that it's me also? That's right. "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have..." Oh, y'all believe in the everlasting life. That's good. That's marvelous. So we know that Peter was speaking about Him being the Son of God. So can you confess? Who do you say that Jesus is? He's the Son of God. He's the Son of God. And you want to be able to say that and then believe it for what it's going to do for you. Now then, from here, we're going to get into do I have time to be able to run this 2-minute video? Are you prepared to run the 2-minute video? Perfect. Let's run the 2-minute video about a man who was paralyzed And he came to Jesus. I'll run back and turn the lights off.
Who hatched the plan? That wasn't a plan. No. When you're desperately in need, you don't stop and think that digging a hole in the roof of a stranger's house might be a bad idea. You just do it. So we did it. How we pulled that operation off, that's a story for another day. And it's a good one. You should have seen everybody's face when they were lowering me down, all sprawled out on that mat. At one point, I just looked at everybody. And I was just like, hello. Everybody was shocked. Except for Jesus. It's like he was expecting me. Jesus, he had this big smile on his face. He looked up at my friends. He looked at me.
We'll start it here again in a few seconds. We're trying to learn how to use a computer up here that is only mine. Start it over. One of these days we'll have a computer up here that we can practice on and we'll learn how to be able to use videos.
Who hatched the plan? That wasn't a plan. No. When you're desperately in need, you don't stop and think that digging a hole in the roof of a stranger's house might be a bad idea. You just do it. So we did it. How we pulled that operation off, that's a story for another day. And it's a good one. You should have seen everybody's face when they were lowering me down, all sprawled out on that mat. At one point, I just looked at everybody. And I was just like, hello. Everybody was shocked. Except for Jesus. It's like he was expecting me. Jesus, he had this big smile on his face. He looked up at my friends. He looked at me. And he said these words. He said, my son, your sins are forgiven. Now listen, I wasn't being lowered down on a mat because I was exhausted from running a marathon. I was being lowered on a mat because my legs didn't work. So when he said he was going to forgive my sins, I was thinking, sins? What about my legs? But I just didn't get it then. See, in saying he could forgive sins, Jesus was kind of... No, he wasn't kind of saying that. He was claiming to be God. Now, I don't have time to tell you everything the Pharisees told us we had to do to earn forgiveness. Needless to say, it'd be easier to move a mountain than to find forgiveness. And here, Jesus is just handing it out. Most everybody in that room had to be thinking the same thing. Who does this guy think he is? Who does this guy think he is? You can't forgive sins if you're not God. And if you're not God, you can't do this. I went in there hoping that I could stand on my own 2 feet, and I walked out free from sin. That's a miracle that doesn't just change me. That changes the world.
All right, we're going to be talking about who do you say God is? Who do you say Jesus is? So now we're going to be in Mark, the 2nd chapter, starting with verse 1. I'm going to have to hurry along because I do want to get you all out of here in plenty of time today. And again, Jesus entered into Capernaum after some days, and it was noised that he was in the house. Hey,
Have you heard? Jesus is back in town, and he's just down that block, the third house. Y'all know the house. He goes there often. He's in the house, and people were all around. They came from everywhere, all over town. They came, so many of them, that they couldn't even get past the door or look in a window. There they were. And he was in the house. And straightway, many were gathered together, insomuch there was no room to receive them, not so much as about the door or the windows. And he preached the word. What was he doing? Giving them the opportunity to hear. Because if you're going to do good, you're going to hear and believe. Are you with me? And he preached the word unto them. And they came to him, bringing one sick, a paralyzed man, which was borne or carried by four others. And when they could not come nigh to him for the press, for the crowd, they uncovered the roof where he was. How would you like to be in a house where you hear them working on the roof and they're beginning to open up a hole? Well, you'd sure want to have insurance, wouldn't you? Who's paying for this? And they opened up the roof, and when they had broken it up, they let down the bed wherein the paralyzed lay. And Jesus, do you remember when he talked about how Jesus looked at the men who were letting him down? Because he was seeing those men, and he was seeing their faith. Have you ever thought that maybe somebody else might be able to see faith also? Don't you want to be able to see faith on somebody? Do you think that maybe there's somebody somewhere that wants to see faith on your face? Because I'm going to guarantee you, they either are or they're not. And Jesus looked up and he saw their face, and he didn't go like this. What are y'all doing tearing up that roof? He looked up and he smiled at them. Because he likes to see faith. And as he's being laid down, let down, the man that's paralyzed, did he have to have faith? Because I imagine those four showed up and said, it's being noised. Jesus is back in town. Come on, we're taking you. No, I hate to go out in public. I don't want people to see me like this. You ever heard anybody talk like that? No, they always look so pitiful at me. And they said, you're going. You don't have a choice. Why? Because faith shows. It doesn't always have to act, but most of the time it will. How do they see us having faith? And so then they went, and whenever he was being let down, do you remember how he said the look on Jesus' face? It was the look of expectancy. He was expecting that man to come. And if we could see Jesus' face right now, I believe that he would have the look of expectancy on his face for every one of us. Because he's going to be overjoyed. You came. You really came. You're here. Oh, Father, they're here. And then he's waiting to do the things that only he can do. So coming together, where two or three gather together in his name, that's always the best place to be. I know that you all can go out and fish, and we're at that time of the year when you're going out and fishing early in the morning. You can enjoy that so very much. And I appreciate that y'all gave up this Lord's Day morning to come together. And if you want to go out and fish, I'm going to encourage you to go out and fish. But find some place, sometime, somehow, Facebook family, Sermon Audio family, find some place to be able to get together with at least two or three more so that Jesus can be in the midst. And so we're seeing here that this man is being let down. And when Jesus saw their faith, not only can other people see it, but God can see it. You know what God does whenever he sees faith? He rewards. Now, it's not always the reward I'm looking for. I would like to be able to say, I'm having faith today, Lord. Could you just slap something in my pocket? I'm having faith today, Lord. Could you just tell me a joke and make me happy? I don't know that God's so interested in slapping something in your pocket or telling you a joke. But I do know he's interested in transforming who we are. And when Jesus saw their faith, he said unto the sick of the paralyzed, Son, thy sins are forgiven thee. I want you to know something. This man, till this point, probably had no idea. He had never been able to do good enough. The Pharisees always had more and more layers of what you've got to do to be good. And Jesus is giving him the opportunity here to have sins taken away just by hearing and believing, which he had never had the opportunity to do before because he couldn't do what the Pharisees told him to do. Thy sins are forgiven you. And there were certain of the scribes that were sitting there reasoning within their hearts. Who are the scribes? Those are the people who've always got a bone to pick. I don't know. Maybe I'm kind of like that myself sometimes. Y'all ever think I've got a bone to pick? Somebody's saying that. That's good. I'm glad. Because there are times whenever I've got a bone to pick. I want you to know Jesus doesn't have a bone to pick. He's looking for somebody to have the opportunity to have an amazing relationship with Him. For faith to begin to do something. But they were there with they were reasoning within their hearts. Do you know what your heart was not made for? It was not to be mad at somebody over and over again. Oh, that's all I've got in my heart towards you is anger. I'm just so angry with you. No, no, no. That's not what your heart was made for. That's the sight of a twisted heart or a broken heart. And if you're here with a twisted heart or a broken heart today, the one who can heal the brokenhearted is here with us. You are not to be a judging person. Your heart always judging somebody because they're not measuring up. Nobody measures up for Jesus, but Jesus. There's a lot of other things I could say about the heart. And that there were certain of the scribes there and they were reasoning in their hearts. And they say, why does this man speak blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God only? A sin problem. There are sin problems everywhere we are in America. There are sin problems in our families. There are sin problems in our friends. There are sin problems with our neighbors and sin problems with the local government. And Lord have mercy, there's sin problems in Washington, D.C. Well, then we need to believe in a God who's going to enable His people to have hearing and believing, have faith, and begin to change things that we can't change by ourselves. Because this man is never going to be the same. He's going to walk out of there and he's going home. People are going to say, isn't he the one that used to be paralyzed? I've never seen that look on his face before. Yeah, that's him. Look at his face. I want you to know that after that day was finished, he didn't fall back into that trip, that old rut, often. He had the look of faith on his face. And if you don't have the look of faith on your face, you're in a rut. And you need to get prepared to ask God to get you out of that because it's going to be determined on who do you say Jesus is. And verse 8 it says, only God can do that. And immediately when Jesus knew, and I want you to know something today, people, Jesus knows. He knows everything. He knows what we have in our hearts or what we don't have in our hearts. He knows whether we're walking in faith or we're not walking in faith. He's not the God that's wanting to say, come a little closer, I just need to slap the fire out of you. I know some of y'all have been in families like that. Or you've had friends like that. That's not the kind of friend that Jesus is. He's not interested in slapping the fire out of you. He's interested in taking care of your sin problem and carrying it as far away as from wherever the east is. Because as far as I can go in that direction, it's east. He wants to carry it from that place to as far away as to wherever the west is. Because I don't know where the west ends. And he wants to take it to that place and he wants to drop sins in the sea of forgetfulness. And to remember them no more. And so we see here that he perceived in his heart that they were reasoning. They had a bone to pick. They always had a bone to pick with everybody. Jesus was just the most recent person they could pick a bone with. And he said to them, why do you reason these things in your hearts? Don't you know that even though your hearts are desperately wicked and deceptive, that they were made for better things than this? Look at this man who has always had a sin problem. And his sin problem is being taken care of today. And so he said, why do you imagine these things in your hearts? Is it easier to say to the sick that has been paralyzed, your sins are forgiven you, or to say, arise and take up your bed and walk? Well, let's suppose that the man that is there really didn't want to get up and walk. Faith wasn't going to do him any good. He could have stayed on that mat for the rest of his life. He could have said, He could have stayed dead in trespasses and sins. Because I'm going to guarantee you, There will be a lot of people we will not see in heaven unless we take faith to them. They're dead in their trespasses and sins. And they will not be there. And at some point in eternity, we will realize that we had a responsibility to take the look of faith to them, no matter what was happening to us on that particular day. Can you think of anybody that you've not taken faith to here recently? That maybe right now you're thinking, oh God, just give me a chance. I want to take faith. I want to see people be changed. I want to see the city of Shawnee be changed. I want to see America be changed. I want to see the church be changed. And so he said unto him, arise, take up your bed. But that you may know that the Son of Man has the power on the earth to forgive sins. After this man is going to have something to say. The people are going to say, well, who do you say he is? He's going to say, he's the only one that I know that can forgive sins. And they're going to say, well, didn't he make you whole? He said, this is not as important as having my sins taken away. My sins are gone. He's taken them away from me. So to end the things today, who do you say Jesus is? What is your faith based upon about Him? Who is He going to be for you when you walk out of this place? Is He going to be Jehovah Jireh, who provides for you? Is He going to be El Shaddai, who nourishes, who sustains, and will satisfy you? You can say, well, I don't know that I've ever been nourished or sustained before in my life. Would you be possible today you could believe that He wanted to do that for you because He's El Shaddai and that He wants to satisfy you? Do you know how many people in America, I probably already said this once this morning, how many people in America today have never been satisfied and they have everything? How many people are like that? Well, you're looking at one. I've had everything. I have had moments. I want to have more. I don't want to anymore have an excuse. Well, if so-and-so would just do their part, then I would be satisfied. No, Jesus has done His part. I'm going to have faith. And today, if you've never, you've heard, you're dead in trespasses and sins. Unless you have a relationship with Jesus. Well, is that true? Do you have a relationship with Jesus? Are you willing to at least confess He is Lord? Because if you're willing to at least confess He is Lord, then you begin your walk with Him. And to be able to say who He is, because these men had been walking with Him for several years already when Jesus said to them, who do you say that I am? And who are you going to say that I am from now on? And Peter said, I may not ever be able to do everything I should do. I may tell you that I will not deny you. And I may deny you, but I do know who you are. You are the Son of the Living God. And everything has changed for me. Now today, from today, 28 days, we'll be celebrating the what is called Shavuot in the Hebrew, or Pentecost in the English. And that means that will be the day whenever the Holy Spirit came upon Peter, and he was filled with more faith than he had ever had before. Would you say, well, I sure wish that Pentecost would get here so I could be filled with faith. You don't have to wait. Jesus has been here with us. And you get to tell everybody who you say Jesus is. Let's all stand. If you've never been born again, today would be a good time. We're going to sing it through twice. And then we will be dismissed from this place. Let's sing this song.
You are Lord,
you have risen from the dead, and I have. something about him. Isn't that the man that was paralyzed? I mean, he's carrying his bed. I remember seeing the bed that he laid upon all the time. But would you look at his face? He wasn't pretty. He wasn't a movie star. But he had faith on his face. And it wasn't because he could walk. It was because his sins had been forgiven. Every one of us needs to walk out of here with faith on our faces because sin has been forgiven. Father, I want to ask your blessings upon every woman, every man, every boy, every girl. We're thankful, Father, that we're feeling brave enough to come back together and we know who Jesus is. He is Lord. Amen. Amen.